The largest one we've had in decades, and we are asking the community for their support.
And so today's Radiothon, we're going to be talking to different people that have had a big part in this, as well as if you want to donate, you're listening right now, you want to help out, we have a 3-to-1 match today. So if you spend a dollar, the hospital gets two more. So Hayden, how do they donate to this?
The easiest way, since you guys are all listening, is if you have your phone handy, you want to text MRHCF, like Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation, to the number 53555, and it'll pull up a link, and you'll be able to go right to that link and see our progress today and fun little information about who's been donating and little messages people are leaving to us. And you can donate right there by check, credit card, ACH, PayPal, all kinds of options.
So who are some of the people, or who did we start out with talking about this whole foundation and get going?
Actually, so I got to sit down with John Ayoub, the CEO of Mobridge Regional Hospital and Clinics, yesterday, and he was able to shed some light on where this building project came from in the first place, and then how it's been going. So he's been working really directly with the construction managers and those teams, and so he's got a lot of great information to share.
John, thank you so much for sitting here with me today and going over some of these questions that I know so much of the public is interested in hearing about. First, what inspired the hospital board to embark on this building and renovation project, and how does it align with your overall vision for the hospital's future?
Well, I appreciate taking the time to visit with me, Hayden. It's a pleasure to be with you. You know, the original facility was built between 1958 and 1959, and it's expanded many, many times in the following 65 years. But the core infrastructure is basically the same. The facility tends to look good because we have an excellent team of people who care for it. But ultimately, we're providing 21st century care in a 20th century facility. The board, the medical staff, the leadership team of the organization initially started talking about the potential for renovations and construction back in December of 2017. We initially focused on the aging of the infrastructure. What were we going to do to make sure that we were able to expand and provide new services into the future? We also started with looking at departmental adjacencies. Basically, what departments are located next to each other and how that plays into the efficiency of the staff. As things were added to the building since 1959, departments were added over the years. Sometimes the most strategic locations were not utilized, but more we looked at what space was available, and that tended to add some inefficiencies for staff as we move forward. While it's great to add innovative technology and more space, over time, you know, those efficiencies tend to get lost due to the distance between departments or having people spread out throughout the facility. Ultimately, the decision to move forward with the project was made for the same reasons that we do everything else, to support and lift up our staff so that they can provide the best, highest quality health care in a compassionate and professional manner for people who need it. If you're constantly having to work to overcome your environment, it can be very distracting. It becomes suboptimal. Our desire is to become one of America's finest rural healthcare providers, and that guides a lot of what we do, and ensuring that our facility helps to support our people fits right in with that.
So what unique opportunities does this project present for the hospital, both in the short and the long term?
Well, I believe that the new construction allows and will continue to allow our team to work smarter and not harder, to provide the care that's necessary for patients and the community that we serve. You know, healthcare is difficult enough. Our staff work incredibly hard. The departmental adjacencies and the new spatial layout will allow for additional staff efficiencies and will also support current and future volume expansion so that we can take care of people when they need it with the care that they need. We're creating the foundation necessary to continually add additional services to meet the current and future needs of our patients and community. And I think the new space will provide safety, efficiencies, some pride, confidence in our staff, and hopefully that translates directly.
That being said, what are the biggest challenges the hospital has faced so far in the building and renovation project, and how are they being addressed?
Sure. You know, as I think about it, this has been going on for a while, and you know, we were hit hard with inflation We had a lot of supply chain issues, delays in manufacturing and production of necessary supplies and equipment, as well as labor shortages and rising interest rates. Those were just some of the major challenges that we faced. You know, we have to be incredibly careful to ensure that we also maintain the highest quality of care while we're providing this construction, while we're doing this construction project. We are still providing care to patients, and that's something that we take very seriously. You know, we're kind of building the airplane while we're in flight, but we need to keep our focus where it needs to be, and that is providing high quality care. So that can be challenging. That does provide, you know, some hurdles that need to be overcome, and I think that we've done a good job of overcoming those. Really, you know, our staff are the ones that make the biggest difference.
How do you balance day-to-day operations in the midst of a major building and renovation project?
You know, I think it comes down to planning, you know, careful planning and consideration, including the people that are closest to the area where the work is being done. So making sure that the staff that are closest to the care have an opportunity to weigh in and provide their input. And then I think lots and lots of communication. That has been vital to what we're doing. That communication, planning, thinking things through prior to doing anything, you know, measuring three times before cutting once, all of these things make a significant difference. We're also, you know, continually keeping our focus on the patients, and we see each and every one of them as individuals to whom we owe, you know, the debt of high quality care. You know, we want to make sure that is never lost. The building is great, but the people are what matter. So we constantly keep our focus on them. We never forget why we do what we do, whether it's a construction project or anything else. We want to provide world-class care so that our family, our friends, our neighbors all have access to that care whenever it's needed.
Great. Well, I appreciate that, not only as a staff member, but also as a resident here in Mobridge. How will contributions to the foundation's capital campaign help the hospital remain sustainable and resilient in the face of evolving healthcare challenges?
You know, we're asking for our community support through our Healthy Futures Capital campaign to help offset some of the increased cost of construction. I spoke a little bit earlier about the challenges and difficulties that we've faced. As the time horizon for this project has lengthened, the amount of money that we've needed to complete it has also increased. You know, we were able to lock in low interest rates for the long term. But the dollar amounts have gone up considerably. And so we really are asking folks, if they can, to contribute to this once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, we don't see projects of this magnitude come along all the time. We know that any and all support is valuable. Every little bit makes a difference. And I think working together, we can accomplish greater things than any of us can do individually.
What message would you like to share with potential donors and supporters about why this campaign is critical and worth their investment?
You know, I hope that folks recognize, you know, the organization that we have. It is paramount to providing for the highest health and healthcare of our community. You know, this, I've said it already, but I'll say it again. This is close to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I don't know when you're ever going to see a building project of this magnitude again. And now is really the time. We've not had a capital campaign in, you know, over 25 years. Really, now is the time to support the organization to ensure that it remains vibrant and able to meet the needs of our patients and communities for the next 65 years, as we have done for the past 65 years. Every little bit makes a difference. Together, we can accomplish so much. I want to say thank you to those who have already contributed to the capital campaign. It means the world. And if you haven't contributed, I would just ask that you would consider making a donation to the Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation's Healthy Futures Capital Campaign.
Well, thank you again, John. I really appreciate your leadership and your vision as we go through this process. I know it cannot be an easy thing to have on someone's plate, so I appreciate everything you're doing for our community and the organization too.
It's a little bit of short-term pain for a lifetime of long-term gain.
Wow, that was really quite an interview. John is an amazing guy. I had meetings with him and stuff, and he is truly a professional and has done a great job for our community. Again, let's tell people how to donate right now.
Sure. It is tricky, like, especially if you haven't done that. So if you get your cell phone out and you text the number 53555 and what you put in your text, your actual text, is just capital MRHCF for Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation. You just write MRHCF, push send, And then it'll send a link to the page that we're collecting donations on. There's a big yellow button. And I just want to call out, we've got Sean and Teresa Stickney just donated. So thank you, Sean and Teresa. Kent and Christy Slater and Jordan and Lindsay Slater from Slater Oil and LP Gas. They just made a wonderful donation. So if you want to check out that website, it's really fun to go and see like all of the support that we're getting. It's very heartwarming and we really appreciate it.
And we know we're getting 3 times the money today.
Yes, you can actually see on their little, you can see a little button on each person's donation listing that it's 3x. So it's really, really special. And so kind of going back to the start of Giving Tuesday, one of the first folks that we talked to about this was Doug and Lori Heil, and they knew they wanted to do something. Lori's been on the board for a long time, and we had this idea about doing a match. So they kind of were the instrumental in getting this whole thing started today, and I got to sit down and talk with them a little bit yesterday as well. I'd love to share a clip of that if that's okay.
Perfect.
I really appreciate the matching donation that you guys gave and Doug Heil State Farm. I think that it's wonderful to be able to share with donors that they can make a special extra impact today on Giving Tuesday. You two have been supporters of the hospital for years now. Can you tell us a little bit about why you got involved and what that's looked like?
Sure. You know, Lori's been a member of the hospital board now for probably give or take 10 years.
Yep.
And I think through that process, we have probably become more intimate with the challenges the hospital and clinic faces because of our time on there. And we just, you know, you start to understand the challenges the hospital faces, you know, trying to continue to meet the needs and demands of the community, especially with, you know, changes in care and technology and so forth, how that evolves. You understand how hard it is to, and we all do as business owners, as employers, how hard it is to attract and retain good quality healthcare employees. And, you know, and I think too, also being a small community hospital, we always have maybe a tougher challenge to continue to earn the community's trust, to know that they can count on our facility to meet their healthcare needs and try to keep them in town and keep them locally. And so, you know, we just felt like to be part of this campaign was important to help the hospital meet those challenges. And we felt this was one of the best ways to do that and to help reach out and hopefully have a benefit to all citizens of Mobridge and our surrounding area.
Lori, as a board member, what have you learned from being a part of this building and renovation project? And what do you hope the long-term impact of the project is for the hospital and the community?
Well, we all know that construction projects of any size take a lot of time, usually more than you plan, and this project is no exception. It started about 6 years ago when the board and administration and staff started discussing what features were wanted and needed and what was feasible. We discussed ways to make the facility more efficient, more accessible to the public, and ready for additional renovation should the need arise in the future. Throughout this project, I've been impressed by how the facility has continued to operate with construction all around it. That is a testament to the staff, as you mentioned. My hope is that the project makes the facility efficient and conducive to great quality of care, that helps to continue to attract and keep the quality staff like Doug had mentioned, and that the hospital and clinic continue to be an integral part of the community.
What excites you two most about this project? Are there specific features of the new or renovated space that you're most excited to help support?
Yeah, there are. You know, we are really excited for the infusion center more than anything. My mom right now is needing to have an infusion every 6 weeks, and so she's got to travel to Bismarck. And that can be tough, you know, if you're feeling well or not feeling well, and especially this time of year when you have to deal with weather and so forth. And so we are really excited for that part to get opened up. And you know, and in my job, I obviously talk to a lot of people, and I know clients who have had to travel out of town and just how much it affects them. You know, you're not feeling well the way it is, and if you have to deal with, you know, traveling somewhere and the stress of doing that and even the financial burdens for some people to do that. So we are really excited for that infusion center to get going.
Can you guys share any personal stories or other stories that highlight why our facilities are so important to you and why these improvements are so essential?
Yeah, absolutely. That hospital and clinic is very near and dear to my heart. Almost 25 years ago, I had to rush my dad out to the ER. He was having a heart attack. It was a Sunday morning. We got there, and within 30 minutes of arriving, his heart stopped. And I was standing right there at the foot of the bed. I watched the doctor who was on call that day and the nurse do the magic that they do, and they got his heart going. And, you know, here we are almost a quarter century later, and he is still with us. And I'm just so grateful for that and the service to get right here in a small town and to have that skill. I can't say enough words about how thankful we are for that. My other story is, you know, our son Joey, back in 2010, was diagnosed with cancer, and he had to go through a 2-year chemotherapy treatment. And he and Lori spent a lot of their time living in Minneapolis, where he had majority of his treatment done. But every so often, we were fortunate enough to get them home. And 1 year, about a week before Christmas, they came home. But his oncology team said that they had to have a physician here in town who knew his case and could check his lab work and would be willing to do that. And so Dr. Travis Henderson did. And I remember that week we got him home, he just wasn't feeling real well, but we take him out there and Travis looked him over and everything seemed to be fine. And I remember that year was Friday, December 23rd. That afternoon, Travis called and said, "Hey guys, I would really like to see Joey one more time before the weekend." And so we took him out there, and sure enough, he had pneumonia. And so we immediately loaded him up and took him right back to Minneapolis. But I guess my point is, to be in a small town, to get that level of care and concern, you know, Dr. Travis didn't have to call us that day. It was right before Christmas. He's probably had a long week and tired. And you'd like to think maybe you get that level of service at a bigger facility, but I don't know if you would. And so I'm, again, very grateful for just that level of care and concern and compassion that we get in a small town. We all know each other outside of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And that's you can't put a price on that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say to a community member or organization who is thinking about donating or getting involved in the campaign?
We would say that it's a great way to give back to the community. As we've talked about, we all have or will need the services provided by the hospital and clinics at some point. And supporting this campaign helps ensure that those services will be available for generations to come. Beyond the care part, the hospital is an integral part of our local economy, and supporting the jobs and that whole thing is also very important to us. I don't know if Doug has anything else to add.
Besides, I should have shut my phone off before he started this interview. I know we all, especially in a small town, get approached many times for different causes, to give different causes and different organizations, and they're all important. And Laura and I just made a decision, you know, many years ago that we wanted to do our giving and keep it local so we can see those benefits of it and see it firsthand. And we do. You see that here. And it's no exception now just to physically drive out there and see, you know, how the build out with the new facility is coming along, and you can go in there and see it's already part of it's being used. And I just think I'm grateful and thankful for the leadership of the hospital to have the foresight to understand and know that we need to keep up to date to meet the challenges of our healthcare needs and, you know, to stay modern and stay efficient, and that helps attract, you know, doctors and nurses that we need. And so I think if you're looking for somewhere to do some giving and join a campaign, I don't know if there's anything else that can reach more people than there are hospital and clinics.
We're back here. That was a great interview with Doug. Great community business we have in town. Great to see them come out and support the Hospital Foundation. If you're a business in town, you'd like to donate, we would love to have you go on right now and do it. And how do they do that?
So you text the number 53555, and to that number you write MRHCF and push send, and it'll send you a link to our page that we're doing all of our donations with. And I just have to agree, like, it's so nice to hear the stories. Like, that's the first time I ever heard the stories from Doug and Lori and how the hospital impacted them. And it's something that's been really rewarding through the campaign. So even if you're not in the position to donate financially, but you are willing to donate a story, like, that's really valuable to us as well.
Speaking of the staff and being able to recruit staff and keep really good staff, we were able to talk with one of our providers, Dr. Robert Marciano, and asked him about what this building project is going to mean to him, and hopefully what it'll mean to the rest of the staff there at Mobridge Regional. So maybe we can play a little bit of his interview next. Sure. Since we have a little bit of a lull, I wanted to just call out Carrie Colnold. He just made a donation on the website, had a little note, great hospital. Thank you, Carrie. We really appreciate your donation.
Okay, you know, donating is not that hard. It's easy to do. And if it's $100, if it's $50, if it's $25, you know, and what really would be cool, Hayden, is if we could get a business to call in to the radio station and give us a donation and tell us why they want to donate to keep this hospital going forward with this building project. I don't know if there's any businesses listening out there, but hey, give us a call. We'll put you on hold while we play Dr. Marciano's interview.
So Dr. Marciano, you've been with the hospital for how many years?
I came in 2001.
Okay. And what has been your experience with our facility, and what does this building project really mean to you?
I think this hospital is a very unusual place in that it's one of the premier rural facilities I've ever been exposed to. As most of the people in the community know, we're ranked somewhere between the top 20 and the top 100 rural facilities in the entire United States. And I firmly believe what we do here, we do as good or better than most other places. And what we don't do, we elect not to do for reasons such as staffing and the facility resources. Mobridge is a place that I envisioned prior to taking the medical college admissions test. I thought about a rural facility that was state-of-the-art, that had a good staff, had a good balance between the administration and the medical staff, and provided excellent health care to the community. A place that would be a financial acre for multiple counties. I thought about how great it would be to have a clinical office attached to a hospital so that I could see hospitalized patients not just once a day, but multiple times a day. How we didn't have to wait days to get x-ray reports or lab results. How I could be seeing a pediatric patient in the clinic and then also be monitoring the progress of a laboring mother on the other side of the hospital. Now that we've come to this point with our building, it's really somewhat of a culmination of that dream and that vision that I had. We're very close to finishing this facility up as far as our construction project goes, and I would venture to say it's as nice as anywhere I've been. When you look at our overall scope of care between family medicine, obstetrics, internal medicine, and then add the subspecialties that are here on a frequent basis, this facility is something that I'm proud of. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be associated with something that I wasn't proud of, something, a place where I wouldn't want to be a patient.
Well, hopefully, I mean, with physicians feeling that way, like hopefully this also helps us recruit folks, because I know you have been hoping to be able to retire here in a couple years at least.
Recruitment is hard for rural facilities. It has to do with a number of factors. When you're practicing medicine somewhere as remote as Mobridge and you consider in our resources and then limitations that are imposed by distance and weather, sometimes the physicians that are practicing here are out on a very long limb. And you, as Dr. Lindy told me many years ago when I came here, you will have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Interesting. That's a great quote. And you're right, because it's you or nobody at some point.
That, and we oftentimes, because of weather or complications with the medical system in general, are not able to transfer patients out.
So you end up doing level one trauma work with level four, like a level four trauma facility. Or like your OB doesn't have a NICU, but you have to...
Exactly. We end up with situations that I would be much happier with in a level 3 or 4 facility that we're dealing with here, and we usually do a pretty good job.
Wonderful. Well, as a provider, speaking of the new building project, have you been able to work a little bit in the new wing so far?
It's state of the art. It is something that I think is quite impressive. I can't wait to see the rest of the facility.
What are some of the things that they've changed, like, as far as the actual patient rooms or?
Patient rooms are much larger. The labor and delivery rooms are significantly larger. And that just aids in patient care. Mm-hmm. We have state-of-the-art hoists that an infirm patient that's not able to move, we can move them now with less risk to the nursing staff. The rooms have good lighting. They're bright. They're cheerful.
I've heard several stories of, like, some amazing stories of what we've been able to do in adverse weather conditions or in an emergency situation that sounds like we might not be able to do if we didn't have folks that could actually deliver babies here. Do you have any examples of stories, like, obviously no names, but any examples of stories that could kind of illustrate that?
It's not uncommon for us to have young mothers present in active labor that are not candidates for transfer, either due to the advanced stage of advanced labor that they're in or the weather. If we, for some reason, discontinued our obstetric program at this facility, there would be bad outcomes. I could use countless examples of things that have come in the door and we have dealt with them and, by the grace of God, prevailed. And I feel really good about that. It would be a terrible feeling to know that you had somebody come in and you couldn't help them.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
If you're tuning in right now, this is a radiothon. We're raising money for the Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation. We're asking for your help. All donations today are going to be matched 3 times. So you put in a dollar, there's Dakota Bank and State Farm are putting in another dollar. So please, please donate. And how do they do that?
Well, you can go to www.givebutter.com. That's like butter like you spread on your toast. And it's /healthy futures. Or you can just give me a call. Like, I'm happy to take calls. I'm going to be back in my office at 4:30 today. My number at the hospital is 605-845-8180. And again, that website, since I know it's a long one, is www.givebutter.com/healthy futures.
That's a good place for our farmers to donate. We're giving butter.
Yeah.
Just like we give crops, we give butter.
Definitely agree with
you, yeah. And, you know, it's talking about giving crops. You guys will, if they take grain to the elevator, anything like that, you guys deal with that as well as a donation.
Yes, actually, I love it when folks call me and say, like, hey, we want to give, but we're not really sure how. And then we can actually work with them and their financial advisor, their accountant, or their banker to figure out, like, the most tax-advantaged way to give. We've had folks give donations of chattels in the past. Some folks do, like, a donation from their 401k or, like, highly appreciated stocks. So if that sounds like something that sounds like you, like that might actually benefit you, and it can be a win-win for the hospital and the listener, that's wonderful.
One more time with the website and the text.
Sure. So texting, you text the number 53555. And you text the little message, MRHCF, and it'll just pull up our website. If you want to go directly to the website on a computer, it's just www.givebutter.com/healthy futures.
Who do we have coming up next?
Oh, that's a great question. We actually have none other than Kevin Winches from Dakota Bank Mobridge. Kevin has been an amazing partner for us as well with the capital campaign. Dakota Bank has agreed to match up to $100,000 this giving season. So their
one-to-one match is going all through today and making it much easier for us to be able to do that two-to-one match.
All right, let's hear the interview.
So, Kevin, first, thank you so much for your willingness to match up to $100,000 in donations to Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation now through the first week in January. It's a huge opportunity for us, and we really appreciate it. What inspired Dakota Bank to support rural healthcare and commit to this generous matching campaign?
First off, we're excited to be able to be a part of this project. When we first reached out and seen that there was this opportunity to do this, it sparked a lot of interest here with Dakota Bank, both in the Mobridge market and throughout the rest of the markets in our footprint. What inspired us to do it, I think it comes down to community, right? We're rooted in our community, have been for a lot of years, and this is an opportunity for us to give back to our community in a way that Mobridge Regional Hospital does. It does in the form of the care that they give, and it also does in the form of the economic impact that it has on local businesses, on housing market, on, you know, just a few to name. It has such a significant impact on our rural community, so we're excited to be a part of that.
Are there any specific aspects of the new building project that you guys are most excited about here at Dakota Bank?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of buzz around the cancer and infusion treatment center. How awesome is that, that people that are already going through difficult times in their lives don't have to get on icy roads? Right now, I know a lot of there unfortunately are people in our community that are battling things along the line of this, and they're traveling an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to have the treatment done, and several times a week at that. So I think it's huge that we have the capability to do it here in Mobridge and the surrounding towns, and to service the people that of our community. So
awesome. We are very excited about that too. Yeah. What kind of feedback have you heard from staff and customers so far about the bank's decision to support this campaign?
You know, so far it's been really good. Anytime that we can help impact, like I said, our local market, our local community, and the surrounding towns. Every dollar is important when it goes to the going to the hospital, and I think it really helps show our way of giving back. So it's the community's been great. The employees have been on board from day one.
So this matching gift has really excited other local supporters of the hospital's work. I mean, it's not every day that your donation can make two or three times the impact it usually does. What message would you share with potential contributors about why their donations matter?
You know, basically, like I just said, every dollar matters. Every dollar is huge. We're all working towards the same common goal. We all want to see the level of care be offered to our local communities, see our local communities grow and prosper. And whether it's $100,000 that Dakota Bank's giving or if it's a dollar, every dollar that we generate is going towards the same goal, and it's all helping our community.
I so appreciate that, because I think sometimes people think that they have to have this large dollar amount to do a donation. And honestly, some of the most heartfelt ones have been $25. I mean, that makes that means a lot to a lot of people. So I'm glad you mentioned that. It's like any donation amount is really special to us.
I've been on many capital campaign funds throughout my career, and I can tell you, the dollar amount doesn't matter. It's the willingness to give, I think, and people being willing to give to see that bigger goal of, hey, this is going to benefit our community in a strong way. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, being a part of that, something
correct.
Bigger.
Correct.
What would you say to encourage local businesses or other organizations to join Dakota Bank in supporting the campaign?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to community driven again. You know, the economic impact that it has, you know, whether it's for an employee base, housing market, people opening businesses on Main Street, I think it all drives back to the community. So I you know, it helps the other small businesses. The more small businesses that we have in town and local towns surrounding us, the stronger we are as a community as a whole.
Do you have any personal stories or examples that highlight why this cause is meaningful to you or the bank?
Yeah, for me personally, the hospital has been a part of my life since I can remember. Going back to my mother worked at the hospital on and off, and I've always had gotten my care from Mobridge Regional when I lived in the Mobridge area. When a couple of years ago, one of my sons had a scare, an emergency, and we lived 40 miles from Mobridge, and having that ability to get to a care center quickly and getting the proper care quickly and getting us to the right place quickly was huge. So it was very critical in that case. And so, yeah, Mobridge Regional has a close place in my heart because of the care that it's given me over the years.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. What legacy do you hope this campaign will leave for the bank and the Healthcare Foundation and the community as a whole?
Back to community again, rooted in our community. The legacy I hope to leave with this donation is let's continue to work together. Let's continue to support things that matter for our community, that brings in more small businesses to our community, that helps with the level of care for the people of our community. I think, to me, that's the big thing. So,
awesome. Well, we really appreciate Dakota Bank's commitment to the community. And
thank you so much. We're extremely excited to be a part of it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for your time. And we hope that we can match that whole thing, max out that match for you guys.
We'll have to get busy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
If you're just tuning in, we are doing a radiothon for the Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation, raising money for the new building that they're trying to get done out there. And we're hoping that you will give. Please give. We're talking to Hayden Merkel. Hayden, how important is it that people donate?
I mean, from the very start of Mobridge Regional Hospital, we've been community-based, and we're one of the only independent nonprofit hospitals. It's not part of a larger system. And when Dr. Marciano talks about how we can provide obstetrics and other kinds of things here, that's specifically because we get to make our own rules here. You know, it's not about being a feeder for some larger organization or anything like that. We get to actually do a community health needs assessment every 2 years. And on top of that community health needs assessment, for the last 10 has been that we needed chemotherapy locally. Well, now we get to do that because we are independent and we're board run. So we have community members at the very top of our organization. And from the start, we've had community members be able to help support us financially. That's how we get things done. So it's very special.
I was told we have a call waiting on the line that somebody wanted to donate. I'm going to see if John can get that up. Hello, who am I talking to? Oh, I got nobody there, John. We're waiting for someone to call in. Are you there?
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, who am I talking to?
This is Jesse Conald over at Bridgemark Insurance Solutions.
Well, hi, Jesse. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
So what...
Yeah, so, you know, hey...
Have you been listening to the radiothon and are so moved to help out?
Yes, I think you guys are doing a great job, and the hospital and clinic and the foundation does such a good job for our community, and we're a very important piece of what we do here in Mobridge, and... I'm so glad to hear that you guys are just cranking and getting your matches in. Bridgemark Insurance Solutions wants this momentum to keep going. We're going to throw out $25,000 as a matching grant to whoever can match up to $25,000 to make sure that we achieve the goal and keep pushing this forward.
Jesse, that is so amazing. We really, really appreciate it.
Why did you want to make this donation today?
I can tell you that I've had three babies born at the hospital and clinic. All my family goes and make sure that we get our checkups and make sure that we're healthy. Or it could be from bumps and bruises to fractures to who knows, we got active kids. And I know our crew down here in Mobridge in our office definitely utilize and make sure that that we're getting taken care of. And it's so important to have a facility like we have in our rural community of population 3,200. We are very, very and truly blessed to have a hospital and clinic like we have.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Jesse, for you and your team and your willingness to give. And honestly, it's really amazing for our other donors, too, because it means that we won't have to actually cap the number of donations that we can match 2-to-1. I think that we'll be able to continue doing a 2-to-1 match for the rest of the day just because of this. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We were more than happy to help, and we encourage all the listeners out there, make us write that $25,000 check. We want to get it done.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Now moving on. That was awesome. I mean, that was really awesome. And I guess now we want to go on and talk a little bit about some of your providers here. Tell us who's coming up and tell us a little bit why you interviewed them.
Sure. So this is Robin Olson is going to be next. She's our OR supervisor. And so she's been an integral part of our team. And right now in phase two, we're actually having a new OR and emergency room built. So that's actually what we're doing right now out at the hospital. When you go in there and you see all the boarded walls up, that's what's happening behind there. So we got a chance to talk to Robin, and I can't wait for you guys to hear what she has to say.
Can you tell me about what your position is here at the hospital and then a little bit about what your department does?
So I am the OR director here at Mobridge Regional Hospital, and our department in surgery, I work with the physicians. I'm also a first assist. We do all kinds of procedures. We do ENT, general, orthopedic, podiatry, urology, ophthalmology, plus we do scopes, colonoscopies, and EGDs. We have a wide variety of cases, physicians. We have physicians that come from outreach, but we also have general surgeons that are here. We do C-sections, and those physicians are family physicians here. So we actually cover a vast array of different specialties.
Once this building project is all finished, what do you think is going to be the biggest impact on staff in your department?
The biggest impact is the fact that right now our same-day surgery and our recovery room and our procedure room and the OR itself are not all in one location. We have to go to different areas of the hospital. And once this project is complete, we are all going to be under one umbrella. So as far as the staff, all the staff will be right there. We can help each other. We can be a little more intimate with the patients as far as they're not going to have to go out in public corridors and everything like that. They're going to be right there and they'll get to keep their privacy. The staff is just really excited that we're not going to be so spread out.
In your position, what excites you most about this project? How do you see your job or the jobs of others on the surgical team changing?
Well, I'm excited just because of what we're going to be offering our community. Plus, for us that are trying to promote the hospital and even bring in new physicians, new specialties, we're going to look like we're in the running with every other hospital. And to me, that's very exciting. Patients aren't going to have to go 2 hours away to get a service that we can do right here in Mobridge. And I know that that's been a goal the whole time that I've been here, and that goal is finally going to come to fruition. And the fact that people are going to be able to stay home and they're going to get their procedure done and they're going to be able to go home within a matter of a short period of time. And so it's very exciting. And like I said, it's going to appeal to other physicians that we want to come and bring into the community. And that's what really excites me. People don't understand what we really do have to offer here, and Mobridge Regional Hospital has a lot to offer the community.
Can you share any personal stories, like maybe of a patient or a situation that highlights?
One particular, no. But in general, the fact that there are people that come to us thinking that they're just going to stop off and then they're going to get shuffled somewhere else. The fact that they're going to be able to stay in Mobridge and get the best care that they deserve and need is basically the biggest thing that I can see that's going to be essential to everything.
How do you see this project positioning the hospital for growth and sustainability over the next 5 years or the next 10?
Well, the fact that we are the expansion, but we're not just stopping here. You know, we were looking forward to possibly having another OR. So if we get the staff here and bring up our numbers to how many procedures we have done, and we can justify that another surgical suite, then we'll at some point, I am very confident that what we're building is just going, you know, I believe in if you build it, they will come. And mm-hmm. I truly believe that. I truly believe that once we get this first OR and people see what we have it's just going to keep bringing more and more people. Just already before the OR is open, our numbers are already growing. With the two general surgeons that we have who are awesome, and they have brought so much to the community, and I think that that's just going to continue to grow. And then I think once we justify a second OR and get more staff in here, it is going to be amazing.
And the building project, the way they laid it out, made it easy to add one.
Correct.
In the future, right?
Correct.
So hopefully it wouldn't be a super big lift if we decided we needed that a couple of years down the road.
Correct. And they told us to focus on it, bigger. So, you know, the amount of same-day surgery suites, the amount of recovery room area, the amount of even for staff, locker rooms and things like that. So that's all been taken into account in this phase, mm-hmm. that even if we were to add another OR down the road, all it's going to do is all the groundwork has been laid for that,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to have to expand, you know.
Any other way
than just bringing in.
We're back here at the Radiothon for the Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation. If you haven't tuned in, we are asking you to please donate. How can they donate, and who has donated so far?
Well, they can donate by a couple different ways. One, you can just go right to www.givebutter.com/healthyfutures, and that's our page for the day. You can also text the number 53555, and then you text MRHCF. And push send, and it'll send you a link. The other way is at like 4:30, I'll be back at the hospital, and you can reach me on my office phone at 605-845-8180. Jeff from Pollock, I'm really sorry I missed your call. I know that he just called. So I'll be getting back to folks like Jeff as soon as I get back in the office. And then I just wanted to do a shout out for a couple people that have donated it just in the last break. We have Diane Dice. She's actually the main lady up in Pierre for Dakota Radio Group, so that's mm-hmm. awesome. Carrie Conold and Lillian Winches. So thank you guys so much for your donations.
Awesome. So who do we have next? And please, please, please donate.
So we have Travis Vetch next. He's actually the president of the Mobridge Regional Hospital Healthcare Foundation. So we are really excited to talk to him and get kind of a leader's point of view from the board.
We are here with Travis Vetch, the president of the Mobridge Regional Healthcare Foundation board, and ask and answer a few questions about this Healthy Futures Capital campaign. So Travis, as an MRHC Foundation board member, what motivates you to support this campaign, and what role do you see yourself playing in its success?
So I think there's two parts to that. One, to understand that the Mobridge Regional Hospital and Clinic is its own entity, that it's a locally owned organization. And in understanding that, we understand that we need local people to participate and be willing to be board members, whether it's for myself to the foundation or there's other people that are a part of the hospital board. And the importance of having good groups of people, and I think diversity too, you know, this isn't something that's just for bank employees or large employers in town. We need to get input and feedback across the community. So number one, you know, is supporting it in that way. The second part, as we talk about the campaign, this campaign and what the hospital is accomplishing, I was going to say trying to accomplish, but what they're accomplishing is really, you don't see this everywhere. You see this where maybe some bigger corporation owns the local hospital, but this is a grassroots effort. And with that, the fundraising and what we're able to do is just going to make the hospital stronger going forward. So there's always nice opportunities to help a local organization like our hospital. But right now, you know, really the spotlight is on us because of the building project. It is just the dollars are so much more meaningful right now.
And you've been able to really help through the business you work with too, right?
Yep. We're proud we were able to sponsor and make our contribution. And I think it's a big part of giving back in the community that we're in. It's important to us. in opening the doors for the hospital. This is the right time. I see our commitment to the hospital is long term. You know, we've always participated. You know, you think of the bazaar and the auxiliary in the fall. And I'll give Misty Helm a lot of credit. She always wants to have a basket down there that's cool. That's something people like to see. And, you know, this year was that way too. I think we had one of those flat iron grills over there that everybody wants for camping. And I had to walk by, I saw a lot of tickets in there. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, that's the ongoing participation. And that does certain things for the hospital on an ongoing basis. But this project was different and we were able to write a bigger check for it.
Well, I know we really appreciate it. What metrics or indicators do you think the board will use to measure success of the campaign and its impact on our local healthcare system?
So the easy indicator, I think, is, well, how many dollars did you raise? And I think about that, and I thought about that, you know, we talked about it in our meetings, you know, right from day one, you know, the idea of one person writing one check, you know, I'd like, boy, that'd be easy, you know, mm-hmm. our job would be done. But that really doesn't answer everything going forward either. When I look at, and I think you would agree with me, the success of this so far has been how many people have given, because that's, you know, ultimately the customers, that mm-hmm. that everybody in the community seems to realize how important this is. And that's really, there's a lot of good things that we can give to. But for people to take the time, I mean, these are hard-earned dollars. When mm-hmm. you know, we all want to talk about the big donations, but, you know, when you see somebody giving $20, $50, when you see a memorial from a funeral, and a couple hundred dollars is given through that memorial. I think about somebody in their obituary calling, you know, that the family calls out, you know, give the donations to the hospital. There's something pretty special there, you know, that through it, it says a lot about the care they were given through that time. Mm-hmm. And you see that a lot, you know. So I think the fact that there's so many people that participated in it, it also makes you feel good about the project itself. That we do have people who want to use and need to use our hospital. That's, you know, the second indicator is how many people, and that has just been phenomenal.
We're back here at the Radiothon. We're still asking you to donate to help the Mobile Regional Healthcare Foundation. We're talking to Hayden. Hayden, we're almost done.
Yeah, I honestly have a whole bunch of people to thank. I mean, when Travis says it's a lot of times how many, not just the dollar amount. We have so many people that have stepped up today, and I hope we still will. I mean, the match is going through midnight tonight, so I hope people are still feeling willing to give. But you, I wanted to thank you and John Schreier here from Dakota Radio Group for helping me pull this off. There's no way that I would be able to do anything like this without the support of you guys. I wanted to thank Doug and Lori Heil from Doug Heil State Farm, Dakota Bank Mobridge, and now Key Insurance Bridgemark Solutions. You guys have made this match possible, and we are so grateful. And then I just want to thank everybody who's been giving today. I know that I want to just share one more time, like, where you can go and give. And that is if you text MRHCF to the number 53555, it'll send you a link. You can also go straight to that link at www.givebutter.com/healthyfutures. And then as soon as we wrap up here, I'm going to head back to my office and you can give me a call at 605-845-8180. And I would love to talk to you there in person or on the phone. I think we maybe should just let Darcy wrap this thing up and have the final word. Thank you again, Don.
You bet. Let her go, John.
What is the primary mission of the foundation?
Right there in our mission statement, the primary purpose of the foundation is to encourage and promote on a long-term and continuing basis the gifts of funds and property to be used for charitable, scientific, education, and building programs of Mobridge Regional Hospital, and assisting, promoting, and advancing the care of ill, injured, aged, and infirm, and fostering the good health of the people that we serve.
What specific programs or services has the foundation funded in the past to support Mobridge Regional Hospital and clinics?
The foundation supports a number of different programs. So for years and years, we've given out scholarships to local students pursuing an education in healthcare. That could be a recent graduate. So that could be a high school senior that's just recently graduating and going into a program. Or that could be a staff member that's wanting to take classes to further their education. We also support the cadet program that provides scholarships for the cost of tuition and books to students that are enrolled in an EMT or paramedics courses. We help with physician recruitment for the hospital for whatever their needs might be. But I think most notably and most recently is our support to the current building and expansion project. As I just mentioned in our mission statement, the foundation supports building programs, which is right up the alley for our current project. We're currently in our second year of a capital campaign to raise $1.5 million to support this project, and we're nearly two-thirds of the way to our goal. So for this Giving Tuesday, it's our goal that between what you're donating as well as the matches that we'll see from Doug Hiles' family and State Farm Insurance, as well as Dakota Bank's match, that it'll get us to that two-thirds mark and even closer to our overall goal.
What did the foundation do to prepare for its first capital campaign since 1997? And what strategies have been most successful so far?
So the first thing we did when we were preparing for the capital campaign is we hired a gentleman named Todd Jordry to do a feasibility study. And the feasibility study helped us to understand what the giving power of the community is, as well as help us to create a campaign goal and a realistic campaign goal. We also partnered with Mobridge Regional Hospital and Clinics, and we hired a new position to lead the campaign. And we were able to bring on Hayden Markle as our capital campaign coordinator. Additionally, we invested in a donor database system that allows us to keep track of donations as well as collect contact information. So for anyone who signed up to receive our monthly e-newsletter, this new system allows us to do just that. By collecting your email address, we're able to send you a monthly newsletter. It's a great way for community members to see what's going on behind the scenes. That could be anything from a recent donation, a donor spotlight, or even some new services or training that we're able to bring to our local hospital. So for anybody who's interested, we would encourage you to sign up for the newsletter. It's honestly a great way to see how we're putting your donation to good work, building healthier futures in our local community.
How will you measure the success of the foundation's capital campaign? Can you share any recent data or achievements that highlight the foundation's impact?
I like to say that we're not just fundraising, we're friendraising. And what I mean by that is we're not only trying to get to our overall financial goal to support the building project, we're also trying to raise awareness of what we do to support our local hospital and what our local hospital does to support our local community. We want to be on the minds and in the hearts of our local community members, so that every time you see a local fundraiser or an advertisement for a new physician or a we showcase a local student who's receiving one of our scholarships, we're really showing you the power of your donation at work in your local community. And we'll know the success of our campaign by not just reaching the financial goal, but by how the community continues to support us after the campaign is finished.
We're your bridge to information, Agnews and Classic Hits, 1300 AM and 101.9 FM, KOLY, Mobridge, part of DRG Media Group.